I don't know, Mr.
But you just, you know, you have just said that you do it already, but you don't get paid.
Yeah, because I do it still under the motto of tourism is my business and I play my part. In fact, at the last set of people I took to the cricket legends, the lady working there said to me, you have done your part for tourism today, and I moved on from there. Another point, in fact, is that there's a monument on Spingarry where we culminate the crop over. And I don't ever see tourists being taken to that historical site and given some background. I remember a time we were there roasting some breadfruit, and we picked some coconut from a tree that was there then, and we drink some coconut water and eat some roast breadfruit. You know, about six tourists came across the road, taste the roast breadfruit, but they butter pan and drink some coconut. You know, the only went back to the port when the ship blew the horn in the evening. I mean, all these little things is things that we can make for an experience, because a tourist don't mind spending the money, you know, but it is the experience. On another side of that coin, I have family that come to Barbados twice a year. And the philosophy on which they come to Barbados is that if they're going to spend for an American foreign exchange, they can spend it in the country of the birth. That's a good philosophy to adopt. But my brother-in-law should not be paying $10 for a soft-boiled egg. You know, then he buy a dozen for $1.99 at home. And it's just these little things that left tourists peeved. Barbados has to understand, and the tourism authorities have to understand, we have no lake, no river, no mountain range, no volcano, in effect, no landscape that draws the tourist through it, that has a magnetic effect on the tourists. And I mean, we got to look for the ways that we can improvise. If you walk from Bridgetown to Baxter's Road, where you have the Fish Friend Village, two different things. The Fish Friend Village. I mean, from the time you left Bridgetown and you start walking down Baxter's Road, it is overcome by filth, garbage, and bush. When you get there by Ridge Sobers near where Youthstown is, it's garbage and bush. When you get to Baxter's Road where the Shamrock was, garbage and bush. Surely we have lost pride in this country. It cannot be our motto, pride in industry, cannot be resonating with people when you can see this in your capital city. You have buildings like I said, the public library, which is a building of historical interest. And the tourists were going to spend 15 minutes there contemplating for Nelson's statue, but there's nobody to get into the Carnegie Library, and because it is closed down. Similarly with the Empire Theatre. We got to create things of interest for people. And my family complains about this all the time. They used to come here and spend 2 weeks. Now they only spend 4 days because they say there's nothing to keep them occupied for 4 days.
Okay, thank you very much. A couple of points have been raised here, but listening to him, there is also coming through this notion that some Barbadians have. Tourism is our business. We greet and treat tourists well. But the opportunities that exist for doing more and earning a living out of tourism tend to be lost on a lot of people. And that's what one of the things coming through from listening to him.
The fact is what a gentleman just spoke about, he could create his own tour. You see, we believe that everything, that sometimes things are too small, but, you know, things start small and they grow big. The gentleman with the mahogany business explained that. He started by doing, you know, cutting coconuts, and now he has a thriving business. So the gentleman understands tourism and how it works, but what he does not understand is how he can get into it and make a living out of it. And that is where the educational process has to come from us through our GIS and our government facilitation. If we can make people understand better that they can make a living from tourism, we can go somewhere. I want to touch very quickly on that garbage issue, though, because this is something that the minister brought up on and so on. And it's a sense of pride and a pride that we have lost in our own country. And I think that we look too much for other people to do what we need to do. You know, if each one of us were to take care of the areas that we are responsible for and make sure that it was kept clean and so on and so forth, the man next to us is going to have to do the same, otherwise he can stand out like a sore thumb. If you got all the garbage pile up in front of you, and I don't have no garbage pile up in front of me, and nobody on the other side ain't got no garbage then. So we need to start taking more pride. We need to look at that whole walkway that we have from the port right back down to Bridgetown. You know, we talk about building a new port. We can't build a new port because we have a dying city already that needs to be revived. We have a Pelican Village that has a problem that can't get anything done with it. We complain about garbage. We complain about urination on the streets, in the alleyways, in the city, and so on and so forth. And I mentioned on this program maybe 10 years ago that one of the issues you have is although we know it is not nice, a man should not be peeing on the side of a building. The point is, if there is no bathroom facility for that man to use for a mile, it is going to happen. Carlisle Bay, for instance, is a prime example. Carlisle Bay is, like the gentleman said, a mile and a half of beach or whatever it is. There's one set of public bathrooms along the whole of Carlisle Bay. You have on any given day 3,000 people using that facility, that beach, one bathroom. So if you're a mile down the road and you need to take a leak, what do you have to do? There's nowhere for the bathroom, for the taxi men at in the city to go and urinate and relieve themselves. So they go down between buildings. So there's nowhere between the port and the abattoir or going up towards the businesses in town that for somebody. So all of these things need to be looked at. And it's not an expense scenario. It is not where we wish government needs to go and build a bunch of bathrooms and have to maintain them and so on. This can be done with the private sector cross with the facilitation of government. If you had, like, you adopt a mile on the highway and you rent a spot, you pay for cleaning an area on his highway. You can do the same thing with businesses and making sure we have a couple of chemical toilets every 100 yards, and we have a couple of garbage receptacles and so on and so forth. And these are things that we need to do and stop just talking about it and hoping that somebody's going to come up with the money and pay and do it. We can do it ourselves. So let's get up and do it.
It seems to me like we need to have a strategy that mixes product improvement with some quick revenue wins, because we are very cash strapped as an economy right now, and there are some things that are nice to have, there are things that are necessary that we can't afford at this point in time. So my question to both you gentlemen, what would you say are some of the things that government should look to do in a short space of time to try to increase the revenue that we are getting from the sector? I mean, right now, 3% of our tourism earnings come from cruise. How can we increase that?
Well, I think there's going to be a massive injection of new money from this new secondary departure tax. That's estimated to raise $95 million, which will then go to fund the two organisations, the Barbados Tourism Marketing Inc. and the Barbados Tourism Product Authority. Obviously, anything that is planned should include the cruise sector. It's totally illogical. As we've been saying, I think several times, 818,000 people are being brought to Barbados. Basically, it's not costing us anything. So we have to find a way to invest in improving the yield. And as I totally agree with Sean, that we find a way to include a lot more small businesses. I'll give you one little example. We have a 23-bedroom hotel. Every Saturday, we used to open the reception, our reception, to a little market and invite small craftspeople to exhibit and sell. One day, a lady from a two, three-person jewellery company, locally made, came up to me. She said, "Do you know we've earned $6,000 this morning in sales to your guests? That's more than we would sell in a month to a major department store." And I think there has to be more opportunities like that where we can involve more people in the sector to help each other. We're all in it together. It makes sense.
Immediate stuff, like exactly what you just said. You could sell at those pop-up markets on Trevor's Way so that the people have something to walk through rather than just to walk on a pathway down past an abattoir, you know, into the city. So the things like that are immediate and they do not cost anything. They just need facilitation and organization, and the cleaning up of the port, the cleaning up of the area between Bridgetown and the port. Things like that can be done now. They're not costly. We can have them all done before the cruise business starts heavily in October, the end of October, beginning of November. So we can move now. We're not asking for money. We're asking for facilitation and organization.
Okay. Do we have any callers? We have three callers. Let's take the first one. Good afternoon. This is Brass Tack Sunday.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. You're on the air.
Yes. Congratulations to the panel, because listening to you guys, what you are saying is needed. I did two cruises in the last 3 years with Carnival. and listening to some of the folk on the boat, Barbados needs things for the persons to do, because every evening you leave the port, there is a information session on the next port you're visiting, what to do, where to go, and whatever.
Yes. Let's take another call. Hello?
Hello. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of different comments to make on what I'm hearing. Some things, I hope that they're not taken negatively, because I may criticize. But at the end of the day, three or four different comments really come home to me. Whether it is at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is I drive there at different times because I take goods to the market early in the morning, or at 7 o'clock at night, people are walking along, and somebody made a point about what the heck is going on with the ignorance of our Barbados tourism people, that people have to walk from a ship into the main town. Now, you're talking about a new port, that's going to be 15 years. But David, things are happening today that should not be happening. If I was coming to Barbados as a tourist, the last place I would get off is to walk a mile into the town of Bridgetown. That's the first step. Number two is, like the gentleman just said in a couple of minutes ago, there is no place to have a pee. That's disgusting. It really is. And if the taxi man can't have a pee, how is he going to take a passenger who might have a big prostate? By the way, you know, that may happen to be a situation. The next thing that happens to me is I did take offense to what, and a previous caller made mention of it, about this thing about that because Barbados is so well educated, we have to charge more for our, how much does it cost to clean a toilet, and what kind of education do you need to clean a toilet or whatever else? David, I could go on to about 15 or 20 other things that really get me mad about where this conversation is going.
David has left for the afternoon, so you're stuck with me, and I'm the one who made the comment about the high cost of our tourism labor at the lower end of the spectrum. I'm sure that many persons probably listening to you may be thinking, this lady's crazy. I would love to get a pay raise right about now. So I do understand your lament, but the reality is that the sector is very much padded by persons who demand a lot by way of wages, and that's just the history of our nation. To change that will take a lot of negotiations. I'm not sure if there's any way around it, to be honest with you, how we can make our labor less expensive than it is. I think what we need to do is look at how we can improve the quality of our tourism products so that we can get more revenue coming in. Your points about the state of the facilities and the extent to which there is a lack thereof, that's one of the points that has been made over and over again. To what extent do we need to continue to belabor the point? We need to do something about it. We need to erect additional facilities. But again, that's going to take money. So my question to you, therefore, is what do you think are some of the ways that we can get around this situation? She's gone. Oh, okay. Yes, so that really is the quagmire that our government is in right now, where we have all of these issues. Some of them may not cost a lot of money, but certainly there's still a cash injection that will be required, even in terms of simple things like cleaning up our surroundings. I mean, we have had a challenge with our garbage trucks being in shortage, and moving our trash away from communities, furthermore, companies, has been a very, very difficult situation of late. I would like to say, though, that I think there has been an improvement in the last few weeks, but certainly there is still a way to go for us as it relates to putting more resources behind ensuring that we get back to that hallmark status of being one of the clean destinations in the region. And that was one of the key selling points for us. Certainly, we were a friendly destination, we were a clean destination. Those are some of the things that seem to have eroded of late. So
I still need to go back to this educational process. I really think this GIS thing is something that I can't push enough, that it needs to be done, because people need to hear it every day, that we shouldn't be throwing garbage out of our cars, that we shouldn't be throwing it on the street as we're walking down the street, that we should be taking more pride in our community. But we need to hear it more. It needs to be hit at us every day. I mean, honestly, after the minister mentioned it, we all see it, but I'm sure all of us, just from him making that statement that he made about it and the fact that other people are seeing it, I'm sure that we have all noticed it a lot more in the last week than we have noticed it before that, because the point was brought up. And if we bring it up over and over and over and over again, we're going to see it more and more and more, and people are going to start to take action. So I think we need to make a big deal of it. The cleanliness of our country is is terrible right now. And the service aspect, we still have the friendliest people in the world. And every tourist will tell you that if they have a conversation with a local. The problem that we have is on the service side of the sector. So don't let's lose for a minute that we still have that personality that people love. A Barbadian, you meet a Barbadian, very shy people at first. But within 5 minutes of speaking to them, they will tell you their whole life history. And people love that. But in that aspect, we still have that. And people still rave about that every day. I deal with tourists every day, and they rave about that. But yes, they do question the service aspect of things. And this whole thing with our ports are very important. And that whole Trevor's Way scenario, it is the first thing you see when you come off of a ship. It is the last thing you see when you go home. So we in the industry can on one side say to you, we make you have a fantastic day. So you forgot about what you saw when you came in. The unfortunate thing is you have to leave us, and you have to go back through that same spot again to back to the ship. And that helps you kind of forget some of what you've done for the day. So it does need to be looked at as a priority.
So Adrian, having managed a hotel, service would have been paramount for you. What would you suggest as we move forward we need to look at in terms of changing this situation where the cruisers are saying customer service in Barbados has deteriorated? How can we fix this situation?
From a hotel aspect, bear in mind when we took over what was the Arawak Inn and transformed it into Peach and Quiet in 1989, we went to number one TripAdvisor status out of 106 hotels. We had a higher rating than any Sandals anywhere in the world, even Sandy Lane. And that doesn't happen by accident. And it involves the staff, it involves everybody. My wife and I couldn't have done it ourselves. And the only way we did it is to carry people with us that had the same philosophy, that if we looked after our guests, they would look after us in one way or another. And we would get, everybody would be happier. I always think of one of our roommates was with us for the longest time, Barbara. She put four children through university on what she earned at our little hotel. And that to me is an incredible thing. When I was growing up with two other brothers, my parents could only afford to send one of us to university. My old brother became a doctor. My other brother went into the Merchant Navy, and I went to work in markets to earn a living. It's something that Sean has mentioned a couple of times. We have to educate people that the reason why the tourism industry now has been focused and targeted, it is because it's the only industry on Barbados that has the ability to take us out of this economic mess we're in. And if we don't get it right, forget it for the next generation, and then maybe the generation after that. So tourism is the only game in town. And I think whatever it takes, we have to get people to understand that and help us achieve an objective. We can never be the cheapest destination because of our costs, but we can certainly be the best destination within the Caribbean. And that comes down ultimately to human interaction, how we treat people, how they remember us, how they tell their friends, and they go back. If they have a wonderful experience, they're doing the work for us. Eh? We don't have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to tell people how iconic we are.
It speaks for itself in the fact that we have such a high return visitors in this island, and so with the cruise ships as well. We have one of the highest in the Caribbean. We're outnumbered maybe about 3 or 4, but 50% of them have visited here before. So we do have a very good reputation that makes people come back, but we just aren't earning enough money from the sector.
What about product diversification? What's your philosophy as it pertains to the boatyard? I think in sharing that, it could help us to start looking at our own approach to our tourism product.
But you add everything, you add things. You know, I've never believed in cheapening anything. When we go through these situations in our island, and we then start to discount everything, we discount rates, we do this and so on. I believe in upping the ante. So we give you more value for your money. Value for money perception is a very, very important thing in the market. And that's what you need to do. And you can do that without spending a lot of money. You can do that with that same personalized service. You could do it with a wet towel at the pool side. You could do it with a chocolate by the bed. You know, these little things make a big difference to people. You know, the way you speak to people in the morning when you greet them and, you know, that sort of stuff. It's not always about spending a lot of money or cheapening a product to do things. At the Boyard, for instance, we try to add a little something new every year. Change things up. You know, today you might come to the boatyard and you find that the shop that sells the clothing there is on one side of the boatyard. In 3 years from now, it's on a completely different side and something else. You're taking the same product and you've rebranded it within itself. And we can do a lot of that within our own hotel industries, within our own tours, even the tours. You know, if the tour goes one way for the last 20 years, we come out of the port and we go left. Maybe we need to go right for the next 5 years and, you know, and reverse the tour. But just simple things that make it different. You know, we have a cave. It's fantastic, beautiful cave. But how good is it for you after one tour? It's the same cave. You're going to get in a cart and you're going to drive through a cave and you're going to look at it the same exact way. So we got to look for ways to make that cave experience different, so that when you come back next time, you might say, well, you know, I love the cave, I want to carry my son, and I'm going to go again because I know they're doing a little something different, I want to see what they're doing. I enjoyed it, you know? So we just have to be creative. And I think there's the creative juices in this country flow, but we just don't encourage people to use them. Everybody thinks they have a great idea, but are afraid to come forward and say, I have this idea, because they believe that people will cry them down. Don't do that. Let's encourage people to come forward and say what their ideas are. The guy with the showing the people the statues and cooking a little breadfruit and thing, and then having the people sit down and talk, that's an idea. And maybe he could get together with a few of the guys around him and make that a little business that they do. But we do want to keep it in a controlled environment and make sure that, you know, we just don't have anybody walking up to the doors and say, well, come with me down in the corner over there and I can burn some breadfruit for you. Next thing you rob them. So you don't want that to happen either. So, but you do want people to come forward and I encourage them and get them involved in the industry. 40% of our workforce is involved in the industry already. We have an unemployment problem that we could add to that 40% and make it 45%. But we just need to show people how to do it. Don't just copy what everybody's doing. Come up with your new ideas, your new things, and encourage people to do it. Oh, I know that ain't gonna work. Encourage them, try it. What do you have to lose?
The flip side of that is people think people will steal their ideas.
But I'm willing to sit here and I'm willing to sit at any one of your panel discussions and give you a million ideas. I can't do them all. Mr. Johnson can't do them all. I hear him talking about them on a regular basis. But we have to put them out there and let other people take them and fly with them. I cannot do all, or will not do, or don't have any need or want to do all. But we can share these ideas and let somebody pick them up and go with them.
Well, definitely lots of ideas are needed at this stage, this juncture in our history, and at this economic juncture where we are struggling to pay our bills as a nation. Tourism is going to have to rise to the occasion and it can't be business as usual anymore. So you've been listening to Brass Tacks Sunday. We've discussed cruise and whether it is in crisis. And I think the general consensus is that there is a lot of potential a lot of opportunity available for Barbados as a destination to move forward and capitalize on this important sector, but we have to be in this together. My name is Crystal Austin, and I have been your co-moderator today. David has left for the day. I want to thank Mr. Sean DeFreitas of the Boatyard for joining us on our panel today, as well as Mr. Adrian Loveridge. And I want to congratulate Adrian again on his 52 years in the business. And of course, our program manager for today, Mr. Dennis Johnson. Thank you. Have a blessed Sunday. And we look forward to having you on our program next time.